Small hive beetle, which is a nidodulid native to Africa, has become a very serious and widely distributed pest of European honeybees in the United States. Both adult males and females are strongly attracted to bee alarm pheromones. They enter the hives, they mate and lay eggs, and the larvae feed on pollen and brood and contaminate the honey. Mature larvae enter a wandering phase, and they leave the hive, enter the soil for pupation. Adults vector a yeast that ferments pollen and releases a number of volatiles, including some that are identical with the bee alarm pheromone, so it makes the hives even more attractive. Now this beetle has been, distribution of the beetle has been caused by moving hives, sometimes over long distances for purposes of pollination, but it's also a strong flyer, and some dispersal by flight is also certainly possible. The objectives of this study were to estimate seasonal and spatial variation in numbers of small hive beetles in flight, to examine the effect of temperature and rainfall on numbers in flight, and to determine if flying beetles can be detected in areas remote from beehives. We estimated the number of flying beetles either weekly or during the winter when they weren't as abundant monthly counts of beetles caught in baited flight traps. The bait consists of pollen dough inoculated with the yeast Codamia omeri, which was isolated from adult beetles. The beetle is attracted to volatiles produced by yeast fermentation of the pollen dough. This is the parts of the trap. We have a piece of black PVC pipe, 25.5. How do I get that off of there? Okay, and it's 7.5 centimeters in diameter. There are two windows cut in it, which are covered with four mesh aluminum screen that allows the beetle to enter but excludes bees. The bottom part down here contains about 100 grams of the pollen dough and two vials of water with wicks that help keep the pollen dough moist. And then we put a vapor strip in there to kill the beetles so they can't escape. There is a funnel inside of this made out of screen that directs the beetles down into the bottom. It has a small hole in the bottom for the beetles to exit. This is the assembled trap. And this is a trap hanging on the stand in the field about a meter off the ground. We had two study sites in north central Florida. They were about 15 kilometers apart. There was one in Gainesville that was associated with beehives, and we had 12 traps there, and another one near La Crosse where there were no beehives. We had four hives out there. This is an aerial view of the Gainesville site. You can see it's two large open areas essentially shaped like a figure eight surrounded by mixed hardwood and pine. You can see the beehives right here. We had the traps pretty much scattered throughout this area. This is a view of from the ground of the hives and shows the trees and then a field with high growths of blackberry bushes, grasses, and wildflowers. This is a satellite photo of the La Crosse site. You can see it's mostly agricultural area with some woods. This area down through here is a stream. We had two traps in these woods, which is actually in a backyard behind this house, and two in the woods over here that's surrounded by cultivated fields. As far as we know, there are no hives, certainly not in this area, and not even you can go a lot further than that and not encounter any. Okay. Yep.
Just use the
Yeah, okay, let me go back. it's going through the hole. Forward.
It's going forward?
Mm-hmm.
Escaping from...
That's it. Right there. Oh, no. Okay, this shows the variation over in at La Crosse from May in 2006 through October in 2007, and at Gainesville from August in 2006 through October in 2007. The first thing to notice is that we did capture quite a few beetles at La Crosse, even though there were no beehives nearby. Also, notice that most of the flight activity occurs between April and October. Also, notice that there's a big difference in number of beetles captured between the 2 years. The second year was very poor for hive beetles, at least in those two areas. We didn't catch very many. Also notice that the populations are quite low during the winter, except for this one peak, which I'm not quite sure why that occurred. This shows the layout of the traps at the Gainesville site. Notice they're about in every compass direction, and these are the hives here, and the hives are some of the traps are very close to the hives. Others are over 150 meters out. If we look at the variation of catch among the traps, total numbers captured, we can see that most of the beetles were captured in traps that were in the shade. These traps were in a little ways into the woods. They were in constant deep shade. The ones in the open were sometimes in light shade of pine trees, and they were sometimes in full sunshine or shade. But these were consistently in the shade, and they caught the most beetles. If we go to look at the frequency of captures greater than zero, that is the frequency that each trap caught at least one beetle, the pattern changes somewhat, and we can see that this trap here, which is closest to the hives and in the shade, caught the most, but the other traps in the shade still caught more beetles than the others. Looking at the correlation with distance, we see here that there is none. Now, if you look at that was the correlation of total catch. Now, if you look at the correlation of frequency with distance, it's still not significantly correlated, but it's a lot closer. And notice that the two of these three outliers are traps that are in the shade, and that's going to bias the results. So if we remove those, we get this, and we see a very high correlation of the frequency of trap catch with distance from the hives. This indicates that it does vary with distance, but shade has a very strong influence on it. This shows that the activity is mainly during the warmer part, drops off in the winter except for this one place, and the lower numbers again during the second year. This just shows that we're in a drought period throughout most of that. The negative departures from normal are much more frequent and much larger than the positive departures. Now, putting the trap catch per week for each month over the rainfall, you can see a sort of a rough correspondence with amount of rainfall. We just started right here, but there was a good bit of rainfall. It was high, then it dropped. We had and this may have been the cause of the peak in January, even though it was cool, and then another peak over here. Conclusions: seasonal variation in trap catch or flight activity reflects seasonal temperature change. Variation from month to month is influenced at least to some extent by monthly rainfall. Year-to-year variation can be large, but at present the causes are unknown. Trap catch is correlated to its distance from hives, but is more strongly influenced by the amount of shade at the trap site. And beetles do occur in areas remote from apiaries. I just want to thank these people that assisted with the field work and provided the study sites. Questions?
Yeah, we have time for questions.
Any idea where the beetles would come from in the frost? Like, what would they be feeding us?
We have some ideas. It's possible that they may travel so far that they are coming somewhere from hives, but it's also, we know that they can complete development and reproduce on fruit. And so there may be some source like that around there. We've been able to rear them in the lab, and we know they occur at places remote from hives, but we haven't ever been able to find them in the wild in fruit that's naturally on.